Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we listen to your word being proclaimed, give us open hearts and minds so that we may truly understand what you are teaching us this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from Amos chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, and then also 10 through 15. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Seek the Lord and live, or he will break out against the house of Joseph like fire, and it will devour Bethel with no one to quench it. All you who turn justice to woodworm and bring righteousness to the ground. They hate the one who reproves in the gate, and they abhor the one who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and take from their levies of grain, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not live in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and push away the needy in the gate. Therefore, the prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is a time of evil. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, just as you have said, hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. And it may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 90, verses 12 through 17. So teach us to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart. Turn, O Lord, how long? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us, and as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be manifest to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the work of our hands. O prosper the work of our hands. Our epistle this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Indeed, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides the soul from the spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart, and before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render on account. Since then, we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who in every respect has been tested, as we yet are without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive the mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. He said to him, Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When he heard this, the man was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. They were greatly astounded and said to one another, Then who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, For mortals it is impossible, but for God all things are possible. Peter began to say to him, Look, we have left everything and followed you. Jesus said, Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, fields with persecutions in the age and in the age to come. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, this being October, you can imagine this is generally the stewardship season, when pastors start to roll out their sermons about money. And so here we have the story today about the rich young man who had a lot of money. And you're probably expecting me to stand up here and say that it's time for you to consider giving part of your money to the church. And we're going to be filling out pledge cards and all of those sorts of things, right? I would think you would not be out of line if you were thinking that. But I will be honest with you, that is nowhere even close to what my sermon is this morning. It is indeed the season whenever the session starts to look at the budget, whenever we start to talk about money, whenever we will be asking you all to consider that which you give to the church and those sorts of things, but not today. Not today. Today is a day whenever, like I said at the beginning of our service, I am just glad to see you. Very glad to see you. Very glad for us to be out, to be able to be here together to worship, and then just to see each other's faces and know that we're okay. There are many of our sister churches down in Tampa and the surrounding area that are not meeting today. They have either been hit hard by Helene and have not been able to worship since, or are experiencing new flooding from Milton. Holly Dillon was on a conference call with people around the presbytery yesterday. She's our general presbyter. And she mentioned that there were about 13 that she had heard were not able to worship together today because of the storms and the impact on the church buildings and on the membership down in that area. So this is a day whenever we gather together, and for many of us, we are grateful that we are okay and that there might be trees down and things like that, but we're okay. But we also are aware that there are many who are not. Many up the East Coast from Helene, and then also the double impact of Milton around us. So as we gather this morning, I think that it might be safe to say that there is a little bit of angst within us. It's been a very stressful time. It's been a very traumatic time. For those of us who are okay, we look at the images on the news and in our news feeds, and we are drawn into the trauma again, where it's frightening, it's disheartening, it churns up something within us. There is a longing within many of us to be able to make things okay, to do something for those who are hurting, to reach out and lift up people. We long to do that. There's something that gets stirred in our hearts, and we want to do something, but sometimes we don't even know where to start helping or what it is we need to do to help. In our passages of Scripture this morning, there was longing of many different kinds. Different kinds of longing. In the psalm, there was a longing for God to have grace on God's people, to bless their efforts. In the reading from the prophet from Amos, we hear from the prophet about God's longing for his children to be faithful, for his children to care for those who are in need, as God has told them time and time and time again to do. He is longing for them to care about each other. In our epistle lesson today in Hebrews, there is a longing to do what is right, a longing to be correct in our actions and in our faith. And that longing can often turn into fear that we're not doing what God has called us to do. But then again, in that passage, we hear that our God sits on a seat of mercy rather than judgment. And for that, we can be grateful. But we long to serve our God. There is a longing within us to serve God, to be close to God. Our gospel lesson, there is a longing from that rich young man to do something more. He's done everything right so far. He is flourishing. He is blessed, as he would consider himself, with wealth. And he comes because there is a longing within him for something else. And when Jesus tells him what to do to satiate that longing, to fulfill that longing, to take the next steps to fill that something within him, the man realizes that he can't do it and he turns away. And then there's a longing in Jesus, who is grieved because he felt something for that person who walked away. He felt it within himself. A sense of brokenness that the guy just didn't have what it took to take the next step, to let go. Ultimately, the man longed for his own wealth more than he longed for that spiritual presence of God. So we are joined together today with these through our faith history who have that longing inside of us. And we turn to find the way to fulfill it. And so we, like many others this morning, gather together and we are wanting to help. We are wanting to help those who have a longing for their lives to get back to normal, for their possessions to be found, for their loved ones to be okay. We hear the cries of those who are grieving over great loss. We long for God to show up in the midst of all of this suffering. And so we wonder how do we meet that longing? How do we turn to God and ask God to make everything okay? And how do we participate in God's work to heal those who are impacted by these storms that have been brewing in our lives. The first thing that we can do is not turn and walk away. Let's not turn and walk away like the rich man did, but let's instead stay in place and see the suffering. Let's look upon the suffering with open eyes and see that it is indeed real and true and deep. And let us do what we Christians, we faithful people, do first, and that is pray. The first thing that we do in the face of this kind of longing is to pray. We pray for those who have not been directly impacted by the storms, because we are the ones who need to have the strength to stand with those who have been impacted by tragedy. We need the strength of spirit. We need our faith to be shorn up. So we pray and we seek God's face so we can have the strength to walk along with those who are hurting. Then we pray with those who have been directly impacted by the storm. Prayer helps those who have been directly impacted because they are needing to understand that God is present, that God is big enough to handle their anger and their grief and their questions. God is big enough to hold them up, to bring peace inside of their hearts. God is indeed with them, and prayer allows them to understand this and also to see that those who love them in Christ's name are as God's presence with them. And we also pray because prayer helps us all understand that we are connected. We are connected to many who are beyond our safe little circle. We are connected, and this brings us to a place where we are able to answer God's call to lift up and provide comfort and healing, to help rebuild, to nurture those who are in need of it, and to accompany those who are walking down the valley of the shadow. Prayer connects us. Prayer brings us together. Through the Holy Spirit, we can be bound together in ministry, in mission, in brokenness, and in healing. And so I would like us for just a moment to stop and do this first thing, to pray. As I mentioned, there are a number of congregations that are not worshiping today. There are a number who have been dramatically impacted by storms and flooding. The Presbyterian Church of the Bayou in Tarpon Springs is worshiping with Palm Harbor Presbyterian Church because their buildings are so devastated. Maximo Presbyterian Church in St. Pete has been absolutely gutted by Helene and now by Milton. If you look at the pictures online from that church, their fellowship hall has been everything from that church is out on the front lawn. The pews and chairs are gone. The fellowship hall is gone. It's completely gutted. And they're having to navigate these ways to worship together. Parsons Memorial, little Parsons Memorial up in Yankeetown took some damage. The Gathering in St. Pete, Chapel in the Pines in Tampa, then of course Life Tree in Crystal River took some damage. As of yesterday, it was really the Presbyterian Church on the Bayou in Maximo that were in the hardest hit, but word is still coming in to the presbytery on those congregations that are assessing damage to their buildings. And so as we pray in these moments, what I would like for us to do is I'm going to lift up these congregations, and then I'm going to be quiet, and then I would invite you all to pray for individuals or people that you know or that you have heard of who have been impacted by these storms, and I invite you just to say their name out loud as we pray. So let's pray. Gracious God, we pause in the middle of this time of worship to lift up sisters and brothers who are hurting this morning, who are worshiping in different places, who are worshiping online, whose work and worship and ministry have been disrupted because of storms. We pray, O God, that as they worship together, as they pray together, that they will feel the strength of your presence and be bolstered by our care in prayer through them. We pray for the Presbyterian Church on the Bayou, Maximo Presbyterian Church, Parsons Memorial, The Gathering, Chapel in the Pines, and Life Tree. O merciful Savior, hear our prayers, and now these prayers of others. Hear our prayer. Hear our prayer. Hear our prayer. Hear our prayers. 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 O gracious God, in this time there are too many to remember or to say out loud as we remember them. There are so many that we know of simply because they live in a region of the country that has been hurt. But we pray, O God, that our sisters and brothers in faith, as they reach out and minister, that they will be instruments of your grace and care to those who are in greatest need. We pray for all of the churches that are worshiping today, that we may be bound together in one spirit to give you glory, to ease suffering, to be beacons of hope, and to minister in your name. In Christ we pray. Amen. The second thing that we can do to satiate that longing is to connect with others in some way. Presbyterian are connectional Christians. After all, that's a thing that we say. Presbyterians, we are the connectional church. We connect together. And so we know this. Our Presbyterian leadership has checked on every church in the presbytery. We've been trying as through the church office to stay connected through email and Facebook and other means. I know we have been checking on neighbors. Presbyterian Disaster Assistance has been here in Crystal River and in Homosassa and in Yankeetown and other parts of our presbytery, trying to connect our churches and people who are suffering with a greater church that can provide help, that can maintain a commitment for the years to come. To be connected, to call on one another, to shore up one another, to assist one another and be present is a way that we can satisfy the longing within our hearts to help and to be that presence of Christ, feet and hands together. Then finally, we can maintain the connections. We can say that we are a people that will be here and present even whenever the urgency of these moments subside. The church is still here to reach out and shore up those in need, to be Christ's presence, to be here in this community, to say whenever there is difficulty, we will be here to help in any way we can. Today, as we are, as part of our worship together, as we go out into the world, as we leave this place today, we will have the opportunity to reach out and be connected. There is an easel out in the narthex that says, I am able to help. There is another piece of paper out there that says needs help. If you feel able to help someone in our community who might need some help, a church member or a neighbor, who some cleanup, or someone from Crystal River that might need a little extra cleaning up in their house, that sort of thing, put your name down and your contact information. If you know someone who needs help, put them down and contact information so that we can begin to connect with one another to help with some cleanup, to help with some extra care. There is also there are two envelopes. One that says Maximo Presbyterian Church, one that says Church of the Bayou. There are also cards and pens. Right now, we can't do anything to fix their buildings, but we can let them know that we have prayed for them. And so I invite you to just write a little note, put it in the envelope, and I will mail those envelopes tomorrow just to let the pastors and the people of those congregations know that we, way up here, far away from them, are praying for them, to be connected with them, to say we are here for you, not just for our own sakes, but for the sake of the good news, so that they can recover from their own tragedies and continue the good work of the gospel where they are. So, as we have heard this morning, turning to God in prayer, turning to one another in ministry and care, these are the ways that we can fill the longing in our hearts to do something. As we do this something in the name of Jesus Christ and for his glory and for the love of one another. And for that we say thanks be to God. Amen.